Police Academy is your source for the no apologies, no spin truth about all things police. Discussions about why cops do what they do, avoiding speeding tickets, or just how to stay alive can all be found right here. No questions out of bounds, no topic too sensitive. This is Police Academy. Do you understand
the words that are coming out of my mouth? What we're dealing with here, littering air, is a complete lack of respect for the law.
And smoking the reefer.
Call the dust pop.
We live in a society of laws.
Dust pop?
Yeah. No, that's not real.
This thing of weed.
Takes one solid weekend of training to get that bag.
Hello, ladies and gentry. Welcome back to the Police Academy podcast. I hope everyone has been enjoying the recent shows. A couple weeks ago, we had Stephanie Olson of the Set Me Free Project on to talk about sex trafficking and human trafficking. If you missed that one, please go back and check it out. It's called The Slave Next Door. And that's a provocative name. I'm not an alarmist. I don't like clickbait titles, but literally that's what it's about, because it could be the kid next door that ends up in the sex trafficking industry. And it is important that we all understand how it works, how these young kids are groomed and pulled into this terrible industry. So I think it's really important that everyone listens to that one. And the one after that, we had Patrick Fitzgibbons on the show from CJ Evolution Podcast, a good discussion on work-life balance, which is extremely important for anyone in law enforcement if they want to survive that career. And today we're going to talk about communications and the importance of good, clear, effective communication in chaotic environments with Jordan Kestner, CEO of Stealth Performance Communication. So hopefully it'll be interesting for you guys as well. Enjoy the show. When you go to the police academy, one of the things that is very heavily emphasized is your communication, especially radio traffic. You have to communicate in a specific language. Every department has its own language, and you have to understand that and be proficient. You have to be fluent in that language to be a good police officer. Now, aside from the law enforcement realm, communication is important all around, right? I mean, you think about a time with a friend, a family member, coworker, where you have a big disagreement, you have all kinds of problems, and oftentimes those things stem from simply just poor communication. But then you think about these high-stress, chaotic environments that you're often in when you're in the law enforcement realm, the military, and how communication becomes even more important. Because if communication breaks down in those environments, it's not just an argument that results. It could potentially be the loss of your life, of a coworker's life, or an innocent civilian's. So I don't think we can overemphasize the importance of good communication. And someone who obviously understands how important it is Jordan Kestner, the CEO of Stealth Performance Communication. Jordan started a tech company completely designed to streamline communications in chaotic environments. Jordan served in the Army. He's got a degree in exercise science and worked an internship with the U.S. Olympic Committee. And to top it all off, he's planning on running for president in the 2028 election. So this might not be the last time you hear from Jordan Kestner. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you. How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. Ready to talk about the future.
Yeah. So what is... Explain to the audience what Stealth Performance Communication is, what that company's doing.
Well, we've been flying under the radar a little bit, considering the fact that we're stealth. We've been trying to target some high-end entities such as Raytheon and DARPA to be able to really impact the industry from above. And we are a wearable technology company that eliminates miscommunication in chaotic environments such as military and police sectors, medical fields, and even sporting events. So the cool part about a stadium is the fact that it has all three of those verticals in one entity. But obviously military and police is a big deal because of being able to eliminate line of sight need for communication. Not that you would not communicate in line of sight, obviously, if you could see someone. But whenever you don't have that availability, we keep you from having to undisclose your location and then potentially get shot, which is billions of dollars that we could save in lives alone for the military.
Right. So you're kind of using the sporting arena to kind of prove the technology, basically.
In the sporting arena is almost, let's say, icing on the cake. It's the sexy side of the wearable technology. Basically, a lot of people are worried about whether or not the NFL might accept some sort of communication technology. The thing is, they haven't innovated the communication since roughly about the 60s. There's been a few upgrades like Bose headsets and whatnot, but the main logistics of everything has not been upgraded. Mm-hmm. And basically what we do is we give the quarterback and middle linebacker the ability to control their offense or defense. So we do not change the tradition of play at all. And the rest of the players can only receive information, and it's a coded message system. So we have 243 play options that are arbitrary, and the coach or the commander or, you know, the SWAT team leader is the person that gives you the information for what that code actually means. So if I were to push B7 green, you would receive a color-coded B7 green, and then that B7 green correlates to a play within the playbook. Offense and defense are different, and so is Detroit Lions to Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. That's part about the system. It's like a Rubik's Cube, basically, and you can use it in multiple functions.
So what does that look like for, speaking to the law enforcement community, what does that look like for a group of officers maybe working a perimeter for a fleeing suspect that just shot somebody, or a SWAT team, you know, hitting a house? How does that actually play out?
There's sometimes there's times where you want to have auditory communication. So we want to give you another form of ability to communicate. Mm-hmm. In certain scenarios, I live in East Tennessee, and we have a huge problem with methamphetamine in this area. And so one of the big things is the fact that we have a lot of people that try to cook it internally in their houses. Mm-hmm. But not just that, but it has a heightened sense of awareness. So those particular individuals have a heightened sense of hearing and everything when they're in the moment, plus adrenaline rushing and things like that. You don't want to have an auditory communication, because they're going to be able to hear your plans and even hear you approaching if they're hiding from you and things like that. So being able to keep this in a visual communication is crucial. And so the location is going to be on the inside of your forearm. So as you can still visually see, you know, depending on your stance on how you want to shoot or anything, you can still see your forearm at all times. And the commander, who may be sitting back from this situation, there can be a leader within the role, but there can also be someone that's like within a van that has drone vision. Mm-hmm. And so then in time, they can communicate to you directly through coded messages. And these coded messages can be set up upon the drive to a particular area, such in a military situation, since you don't want anyone leaking your codes or information. It can be literally set up on the way there, or it can be something that's predetermined, because you may have companies or SWAT teams that want to communicate in a certain way. Mm-hmm. So they have their language they're going on. And both of those become extremely efficient, depending on how you want to use them.
Right. Yeah, I would think that thinking of SWAT teams and just patrol units, you definitely want to have a good feel for and have everybody on the same page as far as what the, you know, have code set up a specific language for your group. So
exactly. Yeah. And so like in a medical field, let's say that I'm a doctor and I'm going to, they already do this a little bit in Europe, in some here, but when they go up to the group, and not that I want free healthcare, so let's just scratch that out. But, but when a doctor comes up to the group of nurses and other people that are involved in this, he may be like, you're getting morphine, you get a suture kit, and you know, you may be getting, you know, the EKG ready or whatever. So then at that point in time, you're telling each individual what they need to do, and they need to execute immediately. This allows someone to sit back and be able to send out these codes. And let's say that B7 green is correlated to a critical gunshot wound. Mm-hmm. A critical gunshot wound will have certain scenarios that the EMT need to play out regardless of the person. So those, once you send a B7 green to the team, each person will receive a different job, but you don't have to send out 12 different codes. You right. send out one code and it correlates to your team. Same in football, you send out one code, you get 11 different outcomes. And if you touch the B7 green, it will show you the route you run or the person you block or what defensive coverage you're in. So it's all arbitrary again. And then it comes into us as a team coding for it. That's why Stealth Performance would be a great entity to be working with the Patriots year long so that you build consistency and you have an IT team that can continuously change things as Bill Belichick wants to, you know, mix things up.
Right. Very cool. So describe what it looks like, because it, mentally I had this picture. Yeah, I guess I didn't really understand exactly what this was. It's not like a mic that you've got, you know, you're not speaking to anyone else on your team, right? It's something that you're, it's on your arm somewhere.
Yeah. So we have a lot of problems with auditory communication right now. First of all, the Bluetooth connectivity is very weak within, in a stadium. And that's where they have a lot of problems. You'll see Bill Belichick like breaking the Microsoft surfaces over his legs and stuff. They get very, very frustrated. So what we do is we create a privatized network, basically almost like a mesh network in a way, that has a military encryption that keeps everything separated. This is the same for like a unit in the military or like a SWAT unit as well, because that keeps the defense or perpetrator or anybody away from being able to steal that information, because it's going to be, it's like if you found our house, when you break into it, we also have locks on every single cabinet. So right. then it's like even harder to get in. And by that point in time, we've already set another code and you have to break into a completely different house now. Right. So that's basically how we set it up. And all right, I kind of got a little off track on what your question was.
No, I was just kind of curious what exactly, like, what it will look like, you know, if like, you're watching the Patriots play. How is someone going to know that they're using this technology, for example?
You know, you know now how the quarterback like lifts open, they have like their little screen that has, and then when they flip it open, they'll have letters, they'll write down like their plays and whatnot. So what we're doing is we're going to have a similar screen, but it's flexible, bendable electronics. And so not only can it record vitals and things like that, because throwing in an accelerometer and a heart rate monitor and things like that are like super easy at that point. So then we can put RFID chips and whatnot in there and be able to collect data for the team. So that's crucial for a strength and conditioning coach. That brings in my exercise science side to it. Mm-hmm. And then the screens itself will have, it may have like a radar system on one side, which everyone is getting adapted to based off of their involvement with like Call of Duty and things like that. And Halo, you automatically kind of get used to this radar system. So this is the thing that will be almost in your peripheral at all times. And then beside it will be the coded messages, and those will be popping up to alert you certain things. So a B7 green or an A5 red could be different quadrants to a building. And so you would understand that because I've already told you or gave you maybe a list, like we're going to be going to do this certain bus on Tuesday. We give you this on Sunday and you have to study the codes and know them prior to the event to know what to correlate to. And then if you wanted to have something that's a little bit more, you know, continuous or the same all the time, obviously you can choose to do that. We're just giving you the options of switching it up so that it's hard for other people to break the code.
Gotcha. Yeah. And when you were talking about the football teams and trying to intercept each other's communication, I mean, they would have to not only intercept the code that was sent, but they would have to know what the code means for that team, which those are two separate things that they would have to break down and figure out.
Defense have a B7 green. So theoretically you have four B7 greens in a stadium at one time. They all mean something different.
Right. So what does, I see in everything that you've sent me and on your website, you have this quote from Leonardo da Vinci: learn how to see, realize that everything is connected to everything else. What is that quote? What's that about?
I think that it's a really good life philosophy, a good approach to life. And basically by understanding that obviously the good and the bad all accumulate into a sum total of events, and being able to understand the meaning of all those is pretty critical. So I do a lot of self-assessment with that, and wondering, why did this event actually happen in my life and what comes out of it? So like the military, for instance, it was a short-lived situation. However, I got enough insight from it to be able to understand, well, we can apply this technology here and actually save a lot of lives and be able, and then I can, you know, obviously two different things at once, serve my country and also give back at the same time. And I feel like that being able to see the bigger picture and how it all correlates together, like exercise science and being able to use that science to create the technology, obviously everything that I've done all comes together, which brings Warrior Within Athletics is also where I do strength and conditioning, but we have t-shirts that we sell and try to hire homeless veterans. So everything that I do is basically cyclical and comes back together.
Right. Kind of the don't miss the forest for the trees philosophy, stepping back and looking at the broader picture and orienting based on that higher level perspective. It's extremely, there's a lot of wisdom there for sure. And for someone in the business world like you are now, extremely important. I mean, you can't be a visionary and be, especially in the tech field, I don't think, without having that ability to really step back and see the big picture. So you just mentioned Warrior Within Athletics, so I want you to kind of talk about that a little bit more. It's a clothing line, t-shirts, hoodies, workout gear, basically, right? And you employ homeless veterans. Your website mentions just the transition from the battlefield back to the homeland. So kind of break that down, talk about how exactly you guys are doing that. I think that's awesome.
Yes, exactly. So when I got out of the Army, it was a weird thing because I wasn't expecting it. And I was kind of left with not many options. I had a lot of options, but didn't really know. And so I was homeless for a period of time and then realized that I had a few things at my hand and went ahead and went back to school, which the government didn't pay for because where I was EPTS discharged, I didn't get school benefits. So I had to go and take care of all of that on my own as well. And then I started kind of thinking about my past when I was younger. I always was trying to be inventive and things. And my grandfather would grow up on a farm and things. I just saw him kind of rig things together and it worked. And I was like, so I always had this kind of fascination with trying to fix things. And that kind of all of this. So with Warrior Within, our fitness apparel line, we have Dry Fit Clothing, which is the same t-shirt manufacturer as Under Armour. And then we have, I think the hoodies and things are a little, that's made by the same company, but it's the dry fit polyester clothing. That's super comfortable, super soft, and sell those. And the profit of that allows us to hire homeless veterans and then transition them from a phase where they may not understand how to apply what they did learn within the military and what they've learned in life. So I try to figure out as a CEO and a quarterback in football and captains on teams and things, I just understand leadership and how to bring out the best in each individual. And I try to find what your strong suit is and then be able to maximize that because not every individual has the exact same strong suit. And I think that that's the biggest thing is being able to let them understand what opportunities they have. And then I help them transition back into a normal phase in society and be able to implement and have a purpose again. And I think that that's the biggest thing.
Right. Yeah. And I think there's a challenge there that might not be so obvious on the surface, but of all people, veterans don't want a handout. And I think you're in a unique position having been in the Army, having experienced, some homelessness afterward and picking yourself up and making your own way. You have a unique position where I think you have the ability to help without giving a handout. And we need a lot more people like you, I think, to really support our people coming out of the military because it's, you know, it to me, and I'm sure you agree, I can't think of a higher service to your community and your country. And, you know, we need to take care of those people. And we, as a government, especially, we've done a pretty terrible job. So,
yeah, we like to use them and abuse them, but don't take care of them afterwards. And that's unfortunate. And that's where that's another reason why I want to get into politics as well, because I feel like that having the business side and then being able to approach into politics later on is critical. One, you're not living off of society and off of taxpayers' money and trying to be a perpetual politician. But at the same time, you have real world experience. You understand how to apply it. You see the problems firsthand. And I think that that's a much bigger deal to be able to create solutions. And that's something I want to be a part of. And I feel like that we just now got our country back, at least in the, we haven't had it for probably about 40 or more years. And people that don't understand that need to do a history check.
All right. Yeah. I think there's a lot of ignorance in the political conversation right now. I mean, it's the same for the police conversation too. That's why this show exists. There's just not a lot of real information out there, but I think you're right. There's what?
There's a lot of Facebook information.
Yeah, there's a lot of Facebook opinions. That's mostly what all that it is. So you are looking at maybe 2028 election for running for president, but not getting into politics now, correct?
25 now. It'll be a little bit longer than that. I think it'll probably be about 2028. But it'll be right around the time that if we have, you know, it's going to be needed. We got a rough road ahead. There's a few things that are happening right now that aren't going to play out. It might play out very quickly. I've been talking about it for 3 or 4 years now, if not longer, that this situation is about to happen with Syria and everything in a world war situation. Mm-hmm. And if this can't play out correctly, we definitely have a rough road ahead, and we need to be focused on creating opportunities for people so that every individual, because if you can spread opportunity to a few people around you and everyone can do that, that's going to be a much quicker fix than trying to get the government to do anything. And I think we need a lot of inspiration and a lot of strategic analysis to make sure that we're doing things correctly.
Right. So, Jordan, I will link to both of your websites for Warrior Within Athletics and Stealth Performance Communication. Is there anywhere else that people can reach you or say hi?
Those are two of the biggest. We also have our social media, so like Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And Instagram, we're pretty heavy with Warrior Within, so it's a great place to reach us. And then obviously email on both of our websites. I click those daily, so on top of it.
I assume you have links to social media on the websites too. Is that
everything?
Okay. All right. So if you're listening and you want to go check out what Jordan's doing, I will put links to the websites and you guys can go check that stuff out there. I mean, if you guys are making stuff with the same company that Under Armour uses, it's got to be quality stuff because Under Armour's amazing.
Yeah, it's high quality. And hopefully we'll be able to spread into other forms of apparel like pants, shorts, and things like that. We have a few things on our agenda. The more we grow, the more we can hire, and the more we can do for people. So.
Well, Jordan, thanks for taking the time today. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That's a wrap for this one, ladies and gents. I have one review to read today, and it is the last one that I haven't read yet. So if you want your review, if you want a shout out on the show, go write a review. You don't have to use your name. You can use an alias or just random numbers, whatever you want. But I would appreciate and love to hear from you. This one is from Anthony Kobos, who writes, quote, "Great, honest, and informative podcast. The host is very knowledgeable. He speaks about current events from an unbiased view. He shares the viewpoint of cops and civilians alike. He also has a very quick response time if you reach out with a question or a concern," end quote. Anthony, thank you so much for that awesome review. And I mean, you're highlighting so many things that are so important to me. I want the show to be informative. I only want to talk about things that I am knowledgeable about or have made myself knowledgeable about through research, and to stay as unbiased as possible. And yes, I love helping you guys. I've had so many of you reaching out and telling me your stories, and I just love to help if I can, encourage if that's all I can do. But I love hearing from you and getting to know my audience. So feel free to reach out if you haven't done so, or if you have in the past and you need to give me an update on how things are going, write me an email, policeacademypodcast@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. And of course, if you have requests for future shows, you can send those to the email address. You can give me a shout out on Twitter. I'm at Police Academy PC there. Love to hear from you. All right. Once again, thank you so much, Jordan, for coming on the show. Big shout out to you, buddy. And good luck with everything you're doing with stealth performance communication. And to my wonderful audience, as always, do good, be strong, fear nothing. This is Police Academy.